Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. We've got a very, very special edition. It's a Euro 2020 special. The final is just around the corner. The big question is it coming home or is it headed for Rome? Joining me to discuss this huge game coming up on Sunday, it's the old team. The guys are back, Simply Serie A Originals. Welcome back to the show. First of all, Vittorio Campanile, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine, thanks. What about yourself? A little bit hot here, yeah. But still fine.
I wish it was hotter here. It's okay here today, actually, for England standards. It's not bad. Also, welcome back to the show, the brilliant Tommy Milanese. It's been a while, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, good to be back. To be fair, it's quite hot as well. Yeah, I'm in London, but my flat's got loads of glass. So, you know, when the sun's out a bit, like right now, it gets a bit hot. So I'm in the same boat as Vittoria there.
It's that annoying hot though here, isn't it? Where it's like you're all sticky, but it's not hot enough to like go out and like, I don't know, take your top off and lie down in the sun, but it's annoying hot.
It's one of those. I'm enjoying it. I've got a little terrace, you know, I'm close to the river, so I've got a bit of wind and stuff. So obviously now I close all the windows for, you know, to not get any noise in the headphones, but when it's all out, it's all right.
So you're going to see Tommy halfway through wiping the sweat from his forehead.
That's it.
Right, let's get into it, because obviously it's a huge, huge game coming up at the weekend. It's the Euro 2020 final, even though it's been played in 2021, between Italy and England. I was at the Italy-Spain game the other night, as was Tommy. Vittorio, I know you've been to see Italy in Rome during this campaign as well. It has been a really strong campaign for the Italians. Let's start off there. It's been very impressive. There's been a real transformation, I would say, under Roberto Mancini. We're seeing a slightly different style of football. But Vittorio, what I thought was really great about Italy against Spain the other night was we saw them, when they had to, dig in and kind of go back to the qualities and the style that maybe is what they've been associated with in years gone by. What did you make of the performance against Spain?
Well, it was a good performance. I thought the team grew as the match go on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody expected to see Italy in the final. They had a tough fixture, right? Spain and so on. So I was impressed. And you have to admit that even if Chiellini and Bonucci are not getting any younger, they're still probably the best central defender now in Europe. And they show it against all the team in this competition. So Mancini changed the mindset of this team, but obviously defense is where this team shine. Even with the changes, you know, Emerson Palmieri started, but Donnarumma is improving day after day. So this central defense is quite good. So against a tough team like Spain, but even against Lukaku, let's not forget that Lukaku, top scorer in Serie A, etc., he didn't score if not on a penalty. So Italy defense is playing great. So this could be a key for this final.
Tommy, you were at the game as well on Tuesday night. it felt like a home game for Italy, didn't it? Because there were so many Italian fans in the stadium. Would you, sort of going into the game against England, are you worried a little bit about the fact that England are likely to have that kind of, first of all, they have the home advantage because it's being played on English soil, but there are expected to be way more England fans inside the stadium. How important do you think that could be?
Absolutely. I think it's a massive factor to take to think about. Like when you play at home, it's completely different. And especially for England, I feel like the players have this momentum that they've been growing throughout the tournament. And this being the most important game of their history, or at least from 66. I think it would be a massive difference, because you may say that in the Italy-Spain game, there was more Italians. The difference wasn't huge. Maybe there was a bit more, I don't know, because I was right where all the Italian fans were. So looking around, to be fair, I did see a bit more blue. But the difference wasn't huge. They still had a fair good representance, but within the final is going to be different. I mean, I don't know the figures, but I assume there'll probably be, what, 40, 50,000 English fans and 8,000, 9,000 Italians. And it will make a difference, especially in the second half of the game, or even if we go to extra time, when all the players will be tired and the game will be more mental rather than physical. And that can really make a difference. When we went to the penalties with Spain, we were lucky enough to win the coin flip. Great skills by Chiellini there to win that. we did it right in front of our fans, and I think that helped massively. I can't imagine shooting a penalty again, having a wall of, I don't know, 10,000 people in front of me trying to catch my attention and moving their arms and screaming my girlfriend's name and all that. So I think it would be a huge difference, and that's one of the biggest reasons why England is the favourites, in my opinion.
If you take that out, Vittorio, if you take the home advantage away and you just look at the two teams, and we'll share the teams on the screen, this is how we think it's probably going to be. For Italy, it's probably, well, we know it's going to be Donnarumma in goal. Back four of Emerson, Chiellini, Bonucci and Di Lorenzo. In midfield, we're expecting Verratti, Jorginho and Barella, with Insigne from the left, Chiesa from the right, Immobile up top. For England, Pickford in goal, Walker, Stones, Maguire, Shaw, Phillips, Rice, Mount, Saka, Kane and Sterling. Now, of course, we're guessing these teams. It's not set in stone just yet. But Vittorio, if you look at those two teams and you take the home factor out of it, which is the best side for you? Who should be the favourites based on football alone?
Well, it's difficult. I would say the Italian team is slightly better. I think midfield, the Italian midfield is much better. But I'm scared of the speed of England. Saka, Sterling, you know, they're very fast. Emerson struggled in the last match. So, you know, that could be the turning point. If Italy is able to stop the wingers of England and play football as they like, using Jorginho, Verratti and Barella, Italy could win this match. But I would say Italy is the best team. But, you know, it's a final. An episode can change anything. And on the other side, we have to say that Italy had a tough fixture. Belgium, Spain. On the other side, England arrived to the final pretty much beating the worst Germany of the last 20 years, can we say it? So, and Denmark, come on. Who expected Denmark to reach the semi-final before the beginning of the tournament, especially without Eriksen? So, you know, England reached the final. They deserve to win. They deserve to reach the final. But I still think the fact that they didn't play against a big team could have a huge impact in a final.
Tommy, what do you make of the two sides? And again, you know, put the home advantage to one side in terms of purely footballing ability and looking at those two groups of players. If you were a manager and I said to you, you can have this squad or this squad, which one would you pick?
Well, I would always pick Italy, of course. But no, I think that name by name, I think it's very balanced, because if you do a combined 11, I think that it would be very balanced. It would be a very colourful team. But one thing to think is that this is not really a starting team. There are two men that will be very, very important for us that will make a huge difference. One obviously being Spinazzola, which got injured, and it was definitely the best player in the tournament for Italy probably together with Jorginho. But yeah, it was really making a huge difference. Yeah. And Emerson, like Vittorio said, struggled a bit. He had a couple of good moments here and there when I was attacking, but defensively as well, it was completely different. And the other one is Florenzi, which I saw it against Spain. He was warming up, so he's okay, but he's not fully fit. So I don't know if he will start or not. Probably not. But yeah, Di Lorenzo to me hasn't been awful, but in my opinion, has been a bit of a weaker link in that back four in the last few games. He's the one that gave away the penalty for Belgium as well, which in my opinion was a bit soft. But still, he against Dhaka, he was struggling the whole game, and Belgium knew it, and then they started to push down that. Down the left, even more. So I think if you put Spinazzola and Florenzi in there, and maybe even a Pellegrini on the bench, which is obviously got injured a few days before we started the tournament, I think Italy will be slightly better. As it is now, with Emerson and Di Lorenzo, I think it's very balanced. One thing I'm afraid of is that this England team, I think, works very well against the way we play, because obviously we use the wings a lot with the way we play. We have a back four, but we all know that in possession, it become a back three with Di Lorenzo shifting in the back three, and Emerson or Spinazzola, whoever is there, goes up on the field almost as a winger. So Insigne can get a bit closer to center with Immobile, and we almost play with a kind of a 3-2-5 in possession when we attack. We love to go down the wings and to have players like Barella, cutting in. But the back four of England has been very, very solid. And especially the fullbacks, I would say, they've been phenomenal so far, Walker and Shaw. Maybe they haven't been tested enough. I agree with Dorio that they had a pretty easy run. Maybe they haven't been tested enough. But I think whatever they played, they've been great. Same from Stones and Maguire, which, to be fair, I didn't expect them to perform this good, because Stones obviously had a bit of a not his best season, let's say. Maguire's been good, but he showed a couple of times that he can make a little mistake, but in this tournament they've been incredibly solid. So I think the way we play, England can work very well.
I think that if Immobile and Chiesa play fast and go deep, that's where England could struggle, because Stone and Maguire are quite slow. So if you can attack them centrally and going deep, like Immobile does with Lazio, for example, that could create a lot of problems. I agree with Tommy. The wingers that on the sides, England can be very, very dangerous. So I imagine that Mancini will prepare something to maybe force Insigne to help a little bit more Emerson when England is attacking. Or the other option could be we keep the ball and don't give them a chance and try to find a solution centrally. Because Maguire and Stone have playing well. They're very physical. They're very strong, but they're slow. So this could be, I think, the plan for Italy for the final.
That's true. And I'm gonna throw in my little unpopular opinion there.
Go ahead.
I wouldn't want to be Mancini's shoes, but I might start Berardi instead of Chiesa. For a reason, because I think Berardi is a bit more, Chiesa is a better footballer. I think we all know that, but Berardi is a bit more clean, I would say. He keeps the ball a bit better. He loses it less than Chiesa. And we know that if you have a narrow like Chiesa to put in the 60th minute or even later if the game's going well, that can really make a difference. And it happened with Austria, of course, that we were really struggling physically, and I think that's what's going to happen with England as well, because England is a very physical team like Austria, and we struggled, and Chiesa came in and completely changed the game. When Berardi came on in against Spain, I don't think he made a huge difference, although he did have the only big chance from the 70th minute onwards. I think Berardi is a very good player to keep the ball, to offer more to the team, maybe even come back a bit more, get some passes in with that midfield, and then if Chiesa comes in later, it can really make a difference. But if we play the other way around, of course Chiesa is a phenomenal player, so he might score or contribute to a goal early on. We don't know that, but I think between the two, Berardi I think will be less effective in the later stage of the game, which is the part of the games I'm worried the most.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, because I feel like Chiesa can be very impactful late on in games. I agree with that. The only thing I would say, though, is one of England's biggest threats, in my opinion, is when Raheem Sterling cuts inside from the left and Luke Shaw comes on the outside. Playing Federico Chiesa, though, may pin Luke Shaw back a little bit more. That's the only kind of sort of argument I'd have against that, maybe, is that Luke Shaw would think twice about leaving the spaces behind him for Chiesa to expose, because he is quicker than Berardi. He is a better runner, in my opinion. So that's something that, you know, you could consider. But when I think back to the Spain game, and I said in the lead up to the game, I was really interested to see how Italy would cope against the side that were definitely going to dominate possession, because up until that point in the tournament, Italy had been quite dominant in games, and this time they were going to have to face a very different challenge. The difference between England and Spain, though, is I think that England are probably better equipped to deal with that Italian counter-attack. You saw against Spain, when they pushed up the field, Immobile would tuck inside, the balls would be played forward beyond the Spain midfield, and there was a big gaping hole between Spain's defense and midfield for the likes of Immobile, Insigne, etc., to get onto the ball and make things happen. England have Phillips and Rice, who I don't think are the greatest footballers in the world. I think they actually cause England issues at times in terms of their inability to progress the ball well enough. But they are players who will sit in that space, I think, and protect it. So I think Italy have got to approach this game a little bit differently to the one they to the way they did against Spain. Talking about combined 11, Tommy mentioned a combined 11. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run through the positions and I'm going to pick, give you two names, and I want you guys to give me a one-word answer on which one you would pick, so we can try and come up with some sort of combined 11 between these two sides. So I'll start with you, Vittorio. This one's easy for me. Donnarumma, Pickford.
I think there's no discussion here, right? Pickford is much better.
Yeah, 100%.
Tommy, same?
I think he'll win this debate against probably any keeper in the world right now.
Yeah, at the moment, yes, probably.
Agreed. Walker or Di Lorenzo?
I go
Walker
first.
For me.
Yeah, go. Yeah. Anyone first. Walker
is playing great. I like him a lot.
He's got incredible recovery pace as well, hasn't he? That even when he's caught out of position or the team are caught out of position, he just is
and
so
he's physical as well. It's not easy to be fast and physical like he is. So, you know, it's perfect.
I agree. Yeah, his pace has always been his strength, isn't it? But we saw back in the day, Spurs or Man City as well, he was coming up the field a lot. While in this England team, it looks like he actually has a bit more defensive role, and he likes to stay back, and his recovery is phenomenal. Insigne, of course, is not the most physical player, so he might struggle against it, but we'll come to that.
Stones or Chiellini?
It's going to have to be...
I think Chiellini.
Chiellini, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I agree.
Maguire or Bonucci?
Bonucci for me.
Yeah, I think Bonucci still.
Yeah.
Maybe the single match is still the best.
Also, Bonucci for us is very important to, you know, we play the ball from the back a lot, and he's great at that, isn't it? To control the ball, passes, even like, you know, pings. I really like Bonucci. I'm a big fan, so I'll go for him.
Shaw or Emerson, Vittoria?
Shaw, I think. This is quite easy. Emerson hasn't played a lot this season, and you can see it, right? And I think this could be a big problem in a match so important like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm a huge fan of Shaw. I think he had a great season at Man United, and it's been phenomenal in these Euros. I agree it was going to be a tough battle for Di Lorenzo to contain the likes of Sterling and Shaw at the same time. He's going to need a lot of support.
Yeah, for sure. So far, for sure, do you get it? So far, we've got Donnarumma in goal then. We've got Walker at right back. We've got Shaw at left back. And we've got the two Italian centre-halves in Chiellini and Bonucci.
Pretty bad so far.
Yeah, not bad. Moving forward, Verratti or Phillips? Easy, right? Surely.
I think Verratti is one of the best in the world in his position. So again, like Donnarumma, he will win this debate with most midfielders right now.
Yeah, agreed. Barella or Rice?
I didn't like the performance of Barella in the last match, but overall, I think he's better than Rice, but he needs to step up in the final.
Tommy?
It's a bit of a tough one because they don't really play the same role, do they? Barella's more box-to-box. Rice likes to stay. I'm a huge fan of Rice as well. I met him personally as well, and I mean, I saw him play. It's phenomenal. I don't know. It's a different position.
Maybe I should compare him to Jorginho. Maybe that's a better. Let's do Jorginho and Rice then.
I'll take Jorginho there. It's a very close one, in my opinion. It's not. It's not like Donnarumma. It's a very close one because, again, I'm a huge fan of Rice, but I'll take Jorginho for the penalties as well.
The little step up. Okay, let's do Mount and Barella then. I know Vittorio, you wasn't best pleased with Barella's performance last time out, but would you put him ahead of Phillips? I absolutely would. Was it Phillips? Yeah, I'm getting confused.
Phillips or
Mount, sorry.
Again, I think Mount didn't play well the last match too. They are very good players. And this is a close one, honestly. Yeah. Maybe Mount because it's younger, I think.
Yeah. Okay, moving into the, let's say, the wide forward positions. So let's go on the left-hand side. Let's go with Insigne or Sterling.
I would say Insigne. I don't like diving too much of Sterling. But I still think that Insigne should give a little bit more to this team. I think he's such talent. I think he could do a little bit more. So I hope to see that in the final, but I think Insigne is a better player.
For me, it's another very tough one, very tight. I think Insigne is maybe a better footballer, but I think I'll take Sterling, especially for the form he's in. He's been the best player in this England team. So again, in a one-on-one, maybe I think Insigne will be a bit of a better footballer, but I think I'll take Sterling.
Saka or Chiesa?
This is difficult. The Euro Saka did was unbelievable. So, you know, but even Chiesa. So, I don't know. Oh, Saka,
I'll
probably.
I'll take this one. I'll go for Chiesa on this one. I know, Harry, you're a massive fan of Saka for obvious reasons. And I'm a huge fan of him as well. He's been fun. Even in the Premier League last season, he's probably been the best man for Arsenal, isn't it? But I have a soft spot for Chiesa. I really love him. So, I think I'll take him. So it's funny, me and Vittorio chose their opposite wingers. I chose Chiesa and Sterling, and he chose Insigne and Saka.
Even as an Arsenal fan, though, I think I would lean towards Chiesa as well. If I had one in the side that I needed to get me a goal or produce a moment in a big game, I'd still lean towards Chiesa. I think Saka's fantastic, but you know, Saka can be a little bit raw at times, and I think that was kind of overlooked at the back end of last season when he was playing for Arsenal because of how good he'd done up until that point. But there were games at the back end of last season where he did waste chances, where he did make the wrong decisions in the final third. And, you know, we've got to remember he's 19 years old, right? He's still got a long way to go. Yeah. I think part of the reason he's in this England side is not because he's the most potent player in the final third or the most effective, but because he is so versatile. He will work back and defend. He gives Gareth Southgate a tactical flexibility that a lot of other players don't. And that's, for me, why he had to be in the squad, why he's in the squad, and why he's now playing a really important part.
His speed can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's really dangerous.
For sure.
Yeah, especially the way England plays with Kane, which we're going to come to in a second, that obviously drops deep, and something learned last season with Mourinho, and it's been very effective. A player like Saka just like Son in the Spurs team can only benefit from that, and that's why he's working very well. I think one of the reasons why we saw that against Denmark, the first goal was Kane dropping deep and putting the space to Saka, and then in the middle. So
for sure, let's move on to that final position then, Kane or Immobile. Tommy is a Tottenham man here in the UK, and Vittorio is a Lazio man. So I'm going to kind of guess what you guys are going to go for. Vittorio, Immobile or Kane?
Well, in this Euros, Kane has been more effective. But as a player, I tend to prefer Ciro. But, you know, they're two world-class strikers. So I think that Mancini's tactic penalized Ciro Immobile. So,
yeah.
That's probably the difference.
Tommy, your take on this one, Kane or Immobile?
I love it. I love Immobile with all my heart, but I think Kane is probably top two or three players in the world at the moment. I'll probably only take Messi on top of him, to be fair. I think he's phenomenal in every aspect of the game. attacking, scoring goals, assists, dropping deep, even defending is dunning a lot in Spurs, in England as well. He's, to me, in his all-round player, is phenomenal at everything. Yeah? He's only missing a little bit of pace. If he had that as well, he'd literally be a machine. So I'll take Harry.
Yeah, I think I'd probably lean towards Kane just because of, as Vittorio said, I think Mancini's tactics do maybe isolate Immobile a little bit. And I think that for me with Kane, I mean, the first few games of the tournament, he was getting absolutely hammered, wasn't he, by the British media for not having an impact, not scoring any goals. And a lot of that is down to a lack of service. And I think that he was being done a disservice by being so heavily criticised. I thought he was quite fortunate the other day, actually, with the penalty, because it was a terribly struck penalty. And he was lucky that the ball fell to him. But sometimes you need those moments in football. And I think
definitely
England certainly got that moment, didn't they, in that game against Denmark. And it wasn't a penalty for me. There's been a lot of back and forth about that. And, you know, England fans have kind of, I've actually received quite a lot of stick from England fans over the last few days. I've had them calling me bitter, calling me salty, etc., etc., just because I don't think that particular incident was a penalty kick. It doesn't mean that I'm bitter about England doing well. I don't care, honestly. I just want to see a great tournament and a great final. Coming back to you, Tommy, how do you think this one's going to play out? I suspect it's going to be quite a cagey encounter. I think I don't really see it being in any of the two sides' interest to try and play this open, expansive game. Therefore, I think it is going to be tight, and I think it will be decided on one or two big moments.
Yeah, 100% agree. We know that Italy has been an attacking team in this tournament, and England maybe hasn't been a defensive team, but not quite as attacking as Italy or the likes of Italy or Spain have been. So I'm expecting for Italy to have the ball the most, at least in the first half. But yeah, they're definitely not going to expose themselves too much, definitely. I think what will make a big difference in England's favour could be, like I said before, the last part of the game. So either the last 20, 15 minutes of the second half, or even extra time if it gets to that. One big advantage that England has is the players they have in the bench. I think they have a very deep squad. And if you look up front, for example, yeah, probably Sterling, Kane and Saka will start, but then they have Grealish, Foden, Sancho, Bellingham, so many incredible players. You could literally have a second team there almost. Well, I think Italy lacks a bit of that. Of course, we have Berardi and Chiesa, whoever will start, probably Chiesa. So Berardi will probably come on. But then the second change for that is Bernardeschi. That's our second change on the wing position, which, I mean, is a good player, of course, plays for Juventus. He has had a career, but I don't think he's nowhere near the likes of, like I said, Sancho, Foden and all that. And same for Belotti. I'm a huge fan of him. He's a great warrior. He's a great striker, playing with the back of the goal, defending defending the ball. But I mean, again, he's nowhere. I don't think he's at that level. So I think the changes will make a huge difference. And England might have a little advantage there. And again, with the home advantage again, like I said, when the players will get tired at the end, and it will be more psychological than physical, that could also make the difference. So I think Italy knows that, and I think they will try and will want to close the game earlier. So hopefully score one in the first half. If not, early in the second half, and it can keep it the way.
Yeah. Vittorio, how do you see it playing out?
I see it a little bit different. We saw it in the semi-final. The first 10 minutes, England was pushing massively thanks to the fans. So if Italy can resist the first 10 minutes, then it could be a different game. I think Italy will try, I agree with Tommy, to control the ball using the most talent in the midfield. You know, Verratti, Jorginho, Barella has to play a great match and try to keep the ball and open space for our strikers. Key will be Chiellini and Bonucci stopping Kane, because we said the wingers are very good, but as Tommy mentioned, Kane is a great assist man. He can create space for the others. So it will be key for Chiellini and Bonucci to neutralize him and keep the ball and try to have chances. But I mean, the fact that the bench of England is unbelievable. Foden is not playing. I mean, Sancho's not playing. How many minutes did Sancho play? I mean, he went to Manchester United for an incredible amount of money, and he's not playing in the national team. That's unbelievable, you know. And the fact that Spinazzola is missing, that's going to be a huge disadvantage for Italy. So, you know, I think England is favorite, not only because they're playing at home, but because they have more option. So Italy has to try to control the first 10 minutes and then try to score and keep the ball. Don't give it a chance to England. Because in the modern football substitution, we often see that the player coming from the bench had a huge impact, score, made the assist, changed the game. So that's going to affect the final, and England has more option there than Italy. So Italy has to try to close the match as soon as possible, but it's not going to be easy. Other thing very important, Italy played extra time, went for the penalty. England didn't lose all that energy. It's true that Southgate said, they had one day of rest more, but Italy played much more than England. So this could affect the performance Sunday.
It's funny because when I was talking to some England fans earlier on the 90 Min show, head over to YouTube and check it out. They were adamant that Italy are the favourites, and Italy fans are adamant that England are the favourites. That just goes to show to me how close this one is likely to be, because neither side are going into this particularly confident that their side is going to be the ones to come away and win the trophy. It is going to be such a fascinating game. There's going to be so many little individual battles going on the pitch. You talked about Chiellini and Kane, and of course Chiellini famously had those words to say about Spurs, didn't he, after Juve knocked Spurs out of the Champions League. So there's that kind of little side story as well. There's so much to unfold, and I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm not buying into that underdog story for England at all.
No, me neither.
I think the English fans are saying it, you know, because they don't want to jinx it. They don't want to go into, we're favourites, we're probably going to win and then lose it, you know what I mean? But let's not forget that Italy, it's been playing amazing and all that, but only 2 years ago, it was probably the lowest point in our recent history, at least. We didn't qualify for the World Cup. There was no excitement whatsoever on the team. There was good players here and there, but they could not play together at all. And that was only 2 years ago. And of course, we've been in a great run with Mancini and we played well, but I feel like we've been playing better than we should in a way. Mancini really got the best out of his players. That doesn't mean that our players are, you know, quite that level. We have an incredible team and we've been doing good, but it doesn't mean anything. England team, player by player, are phenomenal. And they have, again, the home crowd advantage. They have a deeper bench. They have the momentum. They have so many more things. And we have a couple of injuries as well. We mentioned Spinazzola and Florenzi. I think is England the favourite by quite a bit.
Rio Ferdinand said it, right? He said he doesn't care who will win that the other semi-final. England is better than Italy and Spain. So, you know, and you're playing at home. I mean, if it was in France, I would say, you know, Italy could be the favorite. But in London, with I don't know how many English fans at the stadium, I mean, let's be honest, they're clearly the favorite. And Spinazzola missing could have a huge impact. So, you know, England is favorite. You have to be honest. Then anything can happen. It's a final. I mean, if Pickford make a mistake after 10 minutes, everything changes, right? Or if Bonucci is going to be sent off after 25 minutes, it's a different match. It's a different story. So in the final, episodes can change everything. The only thing I would add is that, as Tommy said, the Italian national team is... it's not a great team. No one expected to see them playing like that. But in the history of Italy, the national team, when they reach the final stage of the Euro or of the World Cup, they pick up and they start playing much better than expected. This is the only thing you have to say about Italy, right? In the
football,
final stage.
Football pedigree.
Yeah, I don't know. But even the Italy of Antonio Conte, people will remember. That was a terrible team. But
awful.
But we nearly arrived to the final, right? So, you know, and it's unbelievable. We played with Parolo, midfield, and so on. And
Giaccherini.
Giaccherini. I mean, what are we talking about? So, you know.
I agree.
Let's get your predictions, and we'll get you guys in the chat to drop your predictions down below as well. I'll go first if you want. I'm going to go with an England win, but a narrow England win in extra time because of the reasons that we've discussed, where they do have that extra bit of depth off of the bench. And I think that could prove key. That, along with the home advantage, I think could maybe potentially wear Italy down if the game goes on for that longer period. That you know, I do think that suits England. So that's going to be my prediction. Vittoria?
2-0 England.
I know who's doing that.
Tommy?
I was going to say something different, but I kind of want to say 4-0 England now. No, I'm joking. I reckon we'll go to penalties. I reckon we'll score first. It won't hold up 1-0, and then England will play better in the extra time, but we'll go to penalties. And I'm not going to say who's going to win. Let's see. That's my prediction.
England would have to win the coin toss first, and then they can worry about winning the penalties. Guys, thank you all so much for coming on and joining me for this. For those of you that are watching us on the Chronicles of Aguna YouTube channel, please subscribe to the Simply Serie A podcast. We'll be back in a few weeks ahead of the new season, where you can catch us talking about all things Serie A. The link is in the description below. So yes, it's great that you're watching us here. Hit a like on the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, but it would really help us as well if you subscribe to the Simply Serie A podcast for your Italian football fix every week. So yeah, do get involved. Vittorio, how can people follow you on social media and keep up to date with all your brilliant work?
Well, they can follow me on YouTube and on Twitter at Vittorio Campa, and Lazio Lounge if you want to hear about Lazio in English.
Brilliant stuff. Tommy, how can people keep up to date with you?
I go on Twitter, Tommy Mila, Tommy M-I-L-A. Mostly personal opinion about all football, really, Italian, English. I mean, no huge amount of content there, but getting there.
Tommy posts some great pictures, though. You do post great photos. There you go.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate that.
Right, guys, we're going to leave it there. Thank you all so much, and let's hope for an enjoyable final this coming Sunday. As I say, subscribe if you haven't already. Make sure you leave us a review, and we'll be back very, very soon with more. Is it coming home, or is it headed to Rome? Just a couple of days till we find out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.